There are now more than 7 billion of us on Earth, and we're more mobile and living in higher densities than we ever have previously. Together with climate change, this is creating novel niches for diseases and the vectors that transport them. Two viruses, dengue and chikungunya, which both cause symptoms of fever, prostration and arthritis, and can be fatal, appear to be becoming significantly more common and widespread. They're transmitted by two strains of Aedes mosquito, Aedes aegypti and Aedes albopictus. But our knowledge of where these mosquitoes are and how they're spreading is limited, which makes monitoring, anticipating and controlling outbreaks of these diseases much more difficult. Coming to the rescue is Oxford University's Moritz Kramer, who's pulled together data from across the world to produce the first global distribution map for these mosquitoes.
So the context of this study was largely to identify areas where we have mosquitoes that are transmitting two viruses that are of global concern. These two viruses are dengue fever and chikungunya fever, and the mosquitoes that primarily transmit them are Aedes aegypti and Aedes albopictus. Both of these viruses are now sort of increasing the geographical spread, but also in the numbers and the sort of overall health burden on the population.
Now, what about the sources of both of these agents? If we wind the clock back, when did they first really rise to prominence and begin to be a problem? And how rapid is the trajectory of spread?
Initially, these two viruses, sort of one, chikungunya, emerged in Tanzania. It was sort of the first report, and dengue in Asia. But only over the past sort of like 20, 30 years, they actually became a big public health problem. And there was an estimate of 2013 where we have estimated that 100 million apparent infections happen every year for dengue fever. And for chikungunya, we actually don't even have these numbers on a global scale. But here in 2014, 1 million infections were recorded in the Americas alone.
And why do we think this is happening? Obviously, we need the mosquitoes there, but mosquitoes have been around for millions of years, as have our human ancestors. So why is this happening now?
So a lot of people have hypothesized, and we sort of assume that as well, that human mobility and also the increased mobility or like trade behavior between countries has sort of amplified that. Mosquitoes are spread in used tires when they are transported from one place to another. And this happens a lot now between Asian countries, for example, and Europe, and also Asian countries and the United States, where there's a lot of economic relations. On the other hand, we do fly a lot more, we do travel a lot more as humans, and people go on vacation to certain places, reintroduce the virus once they get infected, and then, because the mosquito might be there in Italy, for example, there was this case of this Indian traveler who came back and then infected 200 people with chikungunya.
So it all comes down to population dynamics, overall population level and movement, doesn't it? How have you sought to try and map where the mosquitoes are going?
For getting the data together, we started just sort of understanding, okay, what is information is even out there in the published literature. So we did a whole lot of research just trying to find out, okay, how many papers are there discussing these mosquitoes and discussing them specifically with the information of the geography of these mosquitoes. So we did a whole lot of search, downloaded all these papers and had four people working on it full time trying to understand where do we find these mosquitoes, and we wanted that on a high spatial resolution because we wanted to map that on a 5 kilometer by 5 kilometer spatial scale.
But you're nonetheless relying on other people's data for this, aren't you? So there must be gaps, because if they haven't looked in an area, you won't have anything to go on for that particular geography.
Right. So what we also did is contacted a lot of health officials from different countries. This included sort of the ECDC, the European Centers of Disease Control, but also the Taiwan CDC, Brazil, for example, and Indonesia, and tried to find out what kind of information do they actually collect on a daily basis, because dengue and chikungunya have been a problem there for quite a long time now. So we sort of gathered their data together, put them into our database and sort of like made them all work together in this database, and then put them into our model.
Were there any pointers towards perhaps novel ways that we might consider mitigating or controlling the spread either of the mosquitoes or the disease? And any other surprises in here, things that you were really quite shocked to see in the data?
We haven't specifically actually looked at any sort of control measurements that were put in place. So our understanding here, or like our approach here, was trying to find out, okay, what is actually the global distribution of these two mosquitoes? And this hasn't really been done before in that comprehensive manner that we have done it. So that was the sort of first approach, and we're going from here trying to understand, okay, if we have information about control measures in a certain region, how effective are these measures actually? And I mean, this is a very good question, very important also for future surveillance and guidance and control, to understand, okay, if we put some measure in place at some point in geographic space, what does that actually mean and how can we contain the spread? But what we have sort of seen over the past years is that it's very hard to contain the spread of these mosquitoes, even in areas where we have quite good health systems in place.
Moritz Kramer. And that's it for this month. You've been listening to the eLife podcast, previous editions of which you can find for free on the eLife website at elife.elifesciences.org, or you can subscribe on iTunes. This is a Naked Scientist production, and I'm Chris Smith. You can find out more about what we do on our website at nakedscientist.com. I will be back with another look inside eLife very soon. Until then, thanks for listening and goodbye.
The eLife podcast from eLife, the open access journal for outstanding research in the life and biomedical sciences. Online at elife.elifesciences.org.